Welcome back, college basketball fans, to Hoops HD's continuing 2018-19 conference previews. This is our Atlantic 10 preview show, which we are recording simultaneously with the American Mountain West and West Coast Conference. You see one up there. You see two more down there.
Yeah.
David, watch them all at the same time, correct?
Right, yeah. You can hit play on all four at the same time and watch them all at the same time.
I, again, am
just
Chad
about
Sherwood.
As much out of it doing that way as watching them one at a time, really.
I'm Chad Sherwood. He's David Griggs. I got John Slica and John Titel off to the side here. And we are talking the Atlantic 10 Conference. And we're talking a conference that David at one point had been a conference putting, you know, quite a few teams tournament each year. And it almost miraculously got three teams in last year. In fact, I think they did because they needed an upset winner in the conference tournament and a team that barely squeezed in the first four to get three bids last year.
Yeah, so Davidson is on the 12 line, and they were below the last at-large team. So no way they get in without the automatic. Rhodey was obviously really good, and the Bonnies were in the first four. But you're right, Chad. I mean, this league is recently as – was it – what was the year? Was it 14 – was it 13-14 the year they put six teams into the tournament?
That was 2014.
Okay. And, you know, it's been hit or miss, but in its inception in the 90s, this was a power league. It was considered right up there where the Big East is now and, like, where the power conference is. Maybe not the ACC or the Big East back of old, but still really good. And I love this league. Oh, I shouldn't – let me qualify that. I love a lot of programs that are in this league. I think that it's a basketball-centric league. It should be better than what it is, and it would be better for college basketball, I think, if this league were to improve. It's private schools with really some really rabid fan bases and some really good markets, yet it has a crappy TV deal, although hopefully now with the ESPN deal it gets a little more exposure. And you just wonder why this league isn't more in the national consciousness than what it is. And why has it struggled so much? Like, why hasn't this league been more successful?
It's a real good question, I think. And you're right. This was a league that had years. It was actually better than the Big East for 1 or 2 years in terms of some of the ratings even. And it's nowhere near that anymore. But we do have 14 teams in this conference, Titel. Who do you think is the best of that group for this season?
I think that it's up in the air because Rhode Island and St. Bonaventure and Davidson all lost key pieces. Since Davidson brings back two big pieces in John Axel and Kellen, I will go with Davidson as the pick, but far from head and shoulders above the rest.
Slika, do you agree with him? You think Davidson is the best team in this conference?
They're going to be one of the teams that's going to be in contention this year. But another dark horse that Chad actually alluded to in his write-up is actually going to be George Mason, who's going to be returning just about everyone of note from last year, including guys like Otis Livingston II, Jair Greyer, Justin Kier, and Gowaner Marr.
Yeah. You got Reuter coming in from Virginia as well with this Mason team, and thanks for giving me a shout-out there, Slika. But, yeah, I do like this Mason team this year because they're one of the very few teams in this conference that is bringing that many people and that much talent back. David, you had a comment about him?
Well, yeah, and the other thing about George Mason is their depth and their athleticism, and you have to thank this man for that, Handy Handurahan, strength and conditioning coach, George Mason.
Okay, thanks, Andy. I don't quite where we're going with that. I thought we're
going to work Handy Handurahan into every podcast one way or another all season long.
But this was a team that just 2 years ago, as Dave Paulson was starting, they had four wins in the Atlantic 10. Last year, I believe they were around 500, so that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be on a pace to go 14-4 this year, but they certainly should have a winning record in A-10 play and probably be one of the contenders for an NIT, if not NCAA tournament bid this year.
So what he's saying, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
David, he's talking about the fact that George Mason has finally recovered from the Paul Hewitt error.
Yes. Paul Hewitt took over a team that was ranked in the top 25 the year before and in the round of 32, and he turned them into an absolute steaming pile of poo. Which, you know, Dave Paulson's done a real good job, as Stolica alluded to. I really like this Mason team this year. I really do. And their strength and conditioning coach, Andy Hendurahan.
Tytel, I'm hearing a lot of love out there for Travis Ford's team out in St. Louis. Do you think that this may be a team that's contending for the top of the conference?
Yes. Backcourt is fantastic. They have a Michigan State transfer, for God's sake. You talk about, can this conference compete on the national level? They need talent. When you get somebody that Tom Izzo likes and Javon Best, you take them. They have another guy who played big-time basketball at Missouri, Tremaine Isbell. They also have Jordan Goodwin, who almost became the first player in D1 history last year as a freshman to have three straight triple-doubles. He got one. He missed one before it by a couple of rebounds and one after it by a couple of assists. I mean, he could have been a legend like Trae Young level as a freshman. The other X factor real quick is Carteret Gordon, the freshman sensation. He's 6'9", 230, so he's not just some skinny little kid. He's a man. Top 100 recruit in the nation, won two state championships, led his team in steals and blocks, so he plays defense, played on the U.S. under-17 team that won a title, and won an AAU national title. All this kid does is win. He's 6'9 in the A-10. I think he's going to do pretty well, right?
Yeah, Stolica, yeah,
probably so. I believe he will.
I was going to say, for what it's worth, St. Louis is actually going to be the pick among the A-10 coaches and media as far as preseason goes, and this would be their first NCAA tournament bid since 2014, the year of the six bids for the conference.
Well, wait a second. Our picks are more important, though, so.
Right. Yeah. All right, yeah.
How about
Chad, the buzzer has forced you to break up. That. Okay. Stolica, your thoughts?
I'm glad I didn't mention the Arch Baron Cup when it came to St. Louis, because I thought that's what was going to draw the buzzer.
Let's talk about the Arch Baron Cup. All right, do we have Chad back? Doesn't sound like it.
I think Chad muted himself because the Arch Baron Cup got mentioned.
This is the best thing that's happened to me since I've been on the show. Chad has been muted. Chad has muted himself. So, oh, man.
Okay, a little audio difficulties again. David, I don't know what you've been doing with my computer, but we got to cut that out. David, before we broke up there, I was going to ask you about the Dayton Flyers, who do return four starters from last year, even though they were a little disappointing last season.
Yeah, I mean, especially after going to the NCAA tournament for four straight years, an Elite Eight in that run, another appearance in the round of 32, and two other years where they were in the top half of the bracket, I think is either a 6 or a 7 seed. They really had a big drop-off last year, and a lot of people are down on Anthony Grant. I think Anthony Grant is a decent coach, probably a good coach, not a great coach, but I do think he can have success at Dayton if given time. He's very defensive-oriented, so it isn't – you know, if you've watched him everywhere he's been, they're not exactly explosive, and Dayton's no exception, but they do have a lot of pieces back. I think they have two or three double-digit scorers back, and I think that they could actually be a dark horse in this conference. And again, like we've seen it from Anthony Grant teams, it takes him about a year or two to get in step, but he had some really good years at Alabama. And, you know, we know what he did at VCU. I think he can do well here. And although no one's really excited about Dayton, and I understand why, because of how bad they were last year, I think they're going to be much improved.
Josh Cunningham is going to be the most prolific scorer Dayton has, but besides the four players that Chad alluded to earlier, the depth isn't quite there yet for them to be a serious A-10 contender.
I think they are a serious A-10 contender because it's tough to find contenders here. Another team that might be a contender type tell. How about Phil Martelli's St. Joseph Hawks, who have both their injured stars back this season?
And now that they've relocated or realigned themselves from the American Conference, I can finally talk about them.
Don't listen to that part of American preview. Just don't listen.
The injury report for St. Joe's is long. I'll try to get only the highlights. Troy Holston Jr., who comes over from South Florida, missed 1 year with a torn ACL and 1 year with a torn left meniscus. Lamar Kimball missed 7 games a couple years ago and most of last year with a left foot injury. Charlie Brown Jr. missed all of last year with a fractured left wrist. Thankfully, Taylor Funk survived his freshman year without getting hurt too bad. So if everyone's healthy, God willing, Phil Martelli has a lot of pieces to play with on the court. I just don't know if they can all get back on the same page medically and physically and game-wise in 1 year.
Well, if they do, and if it does all come together, I think that this team does contend also. So, I mean, there's a lot of teams here that I think could win this conference. A team that was in the big dance last year, Stalika, the Bonnies, we discussed earlier, they made that first four appearance. Do you think they can get back this season?
Very unlikely they're going to get back to the NCAA tournament, at least as an at-large, because you look at guys like Jalen Adams and Matt Mobley, who graduated and moved on. That was almost half their offense right there. Courtney Stockard, Darian Griffin, Amidi Apizi. They're all going to be seniors, and they're going to be among the most notable returners, but we haven't really seen much from the younger guys as far as St. Bonaventure and their bench goes, but I wouldn't count out Mark Schmidt, who's been probably the most underrated coach in the Atlantic 10 over the past decade. I mean, you want to talk about rebuilding the mess he inherited. He's put the Bonnies in the top half of the A-10 more often than not.
David, also in the tournament last year was Rhode Island. Any chance that there's anything left at all?
Not much at all. And you wonder, is it ever going to come back? Like, how much of that was Danny Hurley? And a lot of it was. I mean, Rhodey had some real good years under Barron where it looked like they were going to get into the tournament, but they ended up just missing it. Is not only is Rhodey down this year, is Rhodey going to be back anytime soon? And I like that program. It was real excited. It was real exciting to see the fans get behind it and support it the way that they did. Is it ever going to come back? I hope it does, but I don't know that it will.
Well, Tytel, anybody else you look at this conference that might be a dark horse for a tournament contender?
We mentioned VCU because I can go VCU.
Not yet. Let's go VCU.
So the guy to keep your eye on as another dark horse for player of the year is Marcus Evans, the junior point guard, transferred from Rice after Mike Rhodes, his coach at Rice, came over to VCU. He's not just an average transfer. This is a guy who was first team all conference for 2 years in Conference USA, the Conference USA Freshman of the Year in 2016. Made the all-defensive team. He's not just a gunner. He scored 20 points a game and averaged over 3 steals a game at Rice. I understand it's Rice. But he's got a coach who wants him there. He picked VCU over a couple little schools named Arizona and Miami. He makes threes. He plays defense. He's from Midlothian. He's from Chesapeake, Virginia, where he grew up. And then he played high school ball, I believe, in Midlothian. It seems like a great match in terms of player and coach and city. The X factor, he had Achilles surgery again, I think, over the summer. But if healthy, I think this guy is a legitimate player of the year candidate in the A-10.
Well, him and another guy that I'm looking at as a possible player of the year candidate is over at UMass, where Pipkins, the point guard, junior guard, he's going to be a junior this year, Pipkins. I think he was over 21 points a game last year. Minutemen are still rebuilding under Matt McCall there, but I think that this is a team that might be a year or two away as well, especially if they have Pipkins back for one more year after this one.
Yeah.
David, what about the Dukes? Huge improvement last year, but they might have to start over again this season.
I don't. Yeah, I think they've got three double-digit scores coming back, which for Duquesne is more momentum than what we're used to seeing. I really think Keith Dambrot is a great coach. I mean, you and I have watched him for a long time since his days in the MAC. I think Duquesne really landed someone good that can get it going when they got him. Do I think that they're going to incrementally improve? Yes. Do I think that they're to the point of being in the NCAA or NIT coming into this year? I don't think so. But I think there's reason for optimism at Duquesne. And for the longest time, it just did not seem that way.
Well, Stalika, let me ask you this. There's four teams we haven't mentioned yet. Richmond, LaSalle, George Washington, Fordham. Any reason for optimism this year for any of those four schools?
Normally, most years, I would say Richmond, but they seem to have been on a steady decline over the past 3 to 4 years, where I think even on one of our podcasts last year, we had alluded to them being booed during a field trip game at home. Yes. That's not a good sign. Yes.
They were booed by school children.
It's a shame because I've always thought Chris Mooney was a good coach there, but he's on the hot seat at this point.
He would have to be, wouldn't he? I mean, every year I always am excited about Richmond, and he had a couple years where he was really successful, but they've just been garbage, like hot garbage the last couple years.
Well, let me run through each of you now. Let me know who you think who your pick for both Conference Player of the Year, Conference Champion, and number of bids. Let's do all three at once. Tytel, let me start with you on that.
Oof, Conference Player of the Year. I think your boy Pipkins is a very good shot. I'm going to go with Kellen Grady, only because I got to go to the A-10 tourney last year and see Davidson in person. Bob McKillop entering his 30th year as a coach at Davidson. It seems impossible. As far as champ of the league, I'll go with Davidson, but I'm telling you, like, if this Gordon kid at St. Louis is the real deal, I think that he might help carry this team. And in terms of, I think the last question was number of teams in the tournament.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it low. I think they had three last year in Rhodey, Bonnie, and Davidson, but two of them lost a lot of talent and coaches. So I'm going to set it – I'll set the over-under at 2.5, and I'm going to pick under. I think it's Davidson and – maybe St. Louis, but I don't think this is like a 3 or 4 bid league.
I agree with you. I'm going with 2 bids also in this league. I'm going with Mason and St. Louis. I think I've got Davis as the third team, but you know, could be any of those three. I think 2 out of 3 make it. I'm going to stick with my guy Pipkins as player of the year. Stalika, your thoughts on those questions?
I think Davidson is going to end up winning the A-10 regular season. Probably John Axel Goodmanson would be my choice as far as their player of the year. I think St. Louis also gets a bid, but I think there is going to be a third bid that gets stolen once again on Selection Sunday. Could be George Mason, could be St. Joe's. But at the end of the day, I think 3 teams end up getting dance cards.
All right. David.
Player of the year, I'm actually surprised Tytel brought up Marcus Evans because he's someone I really liked. I mean, I was familiar with him when he was at Rice. I did not know about the summer injury, so I don't know if I should go with him or not after learning that. But if he is healthy, I think he can really help BCU, and I think he's on a much better team that could enable him to be even more effective and contribute even more. As far as the winner of the league, I got to go with St. Louis. I really like the job that Travis Ford has done there. He did. I mean, he's done well pretty much everywhere he's been, although maybe not as appreciated as he should be. I could see him continuing that. Number of teams. I'm going to go with 2, with St. Louis being 1, and I'm really kind of hung up on the other one. I'm going to go with St. Joe's. I could see them being a dark horse in getting into the tournament. The thing about this league is that when you look at it, it looks to be at the top fairly evenly matched. I mean, there's 4 or 5 teams that all seem to have reasons to be optimistic and contend for the league. And the question is it going to come down to, I guess, how they perform out of conference? Is it a situation where they're going to beat each other up, and as a result, there's only 1 or 2 teams that are on or in the bubble? Or is it a situation where they're going to push each other forward because they're all good and have some momentum coming in after doing something out of conference. I'm thinking it's not the latter, but God, how good would it be to see this league good again?
Well, it would be great to see it good again. And let's run to some final thoughts about the conference. And Sleek, let me start with you.
Yeah, I want to talk about the scheduling philosophy that the Atlantic 10 has adopted. They're actually going to be entering a conference challenge themselves with the Mountain West. I mean, this is in part to Commissioner Bernadette McGlade telling her teams, sometimes you're going to have to take some chances because you can't be counting on home and homes with teams from the Power Five conferences in the Big East. So it would stand to reason you'd want to at least get into scheduling arrangements with a conference like the Mountain West or possibly even the American or West Coast down the future. And that also brings up another matchup you'll be seeing this year that I think should be quite fun at the Palestra in December between St. Joe's and Loyola Chicago. So mark your date for that matchup.
That should be a fun one. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Final thoughts, Tytel. Let you go to you next.
We're in the A-10, and I know it's not totally basketball related, but I got to give a big shout out to everyone's favorite VCU alum, Mo Alley Cox. So this is a guy, he played organized football as a high school freshman and then stuck to basketball because, frankly, when you're 6'6", 267, that's how you do it. Great career at VCU, still the all-time school leader in field goal percentage. Gets drafted by the Colts. They're like, oh, he's a big guy, got good hands. We'll try him as a project. He gets injured in 2017. They waive him and they put him on injured reserve. And then they sign him to the practice squad in 2018. He gets promoted, makes a catch. He's up and down and up and down. And then yesterday, Sunday, October 28th, against the Raiders, which granted anybody could score against the Raiders, Andrew Luck drops back, looks downfield, and this is what happens.
First and 10. Luck steps up, fires towards the end zone. One-handed catch! Mo Alley Cox! Just like he did on the basketball court for VCU, going up high and bringing it down for six. Chance, he was on the practice squad.
Gotta love 8-10 basketball because even if it doesn't work out on the court, Mo Alley, no problems.
Amazing catch there. David, any final thoughts from you?
Yes, a team we didn't discuss and that we rightfully didn't discuss and should quite frankly never discuss again perhaps. What in the hell is wrong with Fordham? I don't understand how this program isn't even by accident occasionally better than what it is. And it's one thing to not compete for the A-10 and not make the NCAA tournament. It's another to be in the city of New York and routinely finish outside the top 200 and not just be as good as St. John's, but like let's run down the programs in New York that are better than Fordham. You've got St. John's, you've got Manhattan, you've got Iona, you've probably got St. Francis, Brooklyn, and Long Island. Like, if Fordham played in the Northeast Conference, would they even finish at the top of the league? Probably not. How is it that they are in New York, it's that type of school with that kind of alumni base, it's an excellent school, and that they're not even better than the top 250 occasionally? And they got a good coach. Jeff Neubauer did a really good job at Eastern Kentucky, yet he can't seem to get it going at Fordham, and no one can. Anyway.
No one can. I just want to throw one last shout out there here. We didn't really discuss LaSalle either. They do have a new head coach in Ashley Howard coming over as a former Jay Wright assistant and a player to keep an eye on there, and Pookie Powell as well. But on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. If you're looking for the American, it's up there somewhere. If you're looking for the Mountain West, the West Coast Conference, they're down there. Watch all four at the same time, and we will be back with you again real soon.